This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap!
Welcome back, Formula One fans. The summer break is over, and you have landed at the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is Season 5, Episode number 23. It's our 2023 Dutch GP preview. We are proud members of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network, and if you're anywhere within the U.S., you're probably quite warm tonight. And if you don't feel warm, go get checked out, because I think there may be something wrong with you, because it's damn hot out there. You've got Andy, and I'm along with my wonderful preview co-host, Cody, tonight. Cody, it's good to see you, sir. How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Sporting the Cubs hat today, trying to get some good luck going for the Cubs, hoping that we'll get to see some more postseason from the Cubs when we're down at the Austin race this year. So, yeah, good stuff there. Looking forward to having Formula One back.
Well, we finally get the end of Formula One drought is finally upon us. It is time to start the second half of the season off with our Dutch GP. And as always, you can find our show on Twitter, and I'm still calling it that. I'm not changing the name. I don't care. Instagram, Discord, Reddit. I do have Threads working. I'm working on trying to get that up and going a lot more. And, of course, YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast will take you to all of those. If you happen to be looking at our lovely faces on YouTube, if you like what you see, click the like or the subscribe button. If you'd like to do that, it just helps us get our content to you that much quicker. If you're on your favorite podcasting app and you like what you're hearing, do us a favor, click that 5-star button, particularly if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because those are our two biggest platforms. But we're on a whole lot of different podcasting platforms, so feel free to find us wherever you would like. You can email the show, as always, chatnow@outlapf1.com will take you there. The website, www.outlapf1.com will take you there. As a reminder, we're always grateful for our monetary supporters, and we'd like to thank them at this time. So thanks so much to Dean Warwick, Yuri Dolchester, Paul Weaver, Quentin Warden, Kevin Kelly, Regan Stanzik, Timothy Brown, and of course, Jonathan Scott. If you'd like to become a member of what we call the Outlap F1 Nation, if you'd like to donate $1, $5, whatever you would like, it all goes back into trying to make the show better, trying to buy new equipment, try to push the show forward. We would be most appreciative if you would like to do that. As a general reminder, you can use our code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, and get 20% off and free shipping from the good folks at Manscaped. And our final sponsor, the F1Guy.com, it's our buddy Vincenzo Landino. He has a shirt line. It's F1 quality merch for not necessarily the F1 quality price. So go ahead and check that out. He's got some good stuff if you'd like to take a look and see what he's got there. All right. Well, the summer break has now come and gone. We didn't have what happened last year in terms of the F1 driver market. It was kind of relatively, believe it or not, a pretty quiet summer break, at least in terms of F1 actual stories. Where there has been some driver drama has been, believe it or not, in the IndyCar series. And there is a little bit of an F1 side note to all of this, and that involves one. IndyCar probably going to be the champion in the next race, or maybe two. Two-time champion, as it's going to probably turn out to be. One, Alex Palou, and his where he's going to drive drama, which it seems it becomes like an annual thing. I guess we can cue the People's Court music once again, because this is probably where this is all going to end back up. But basically, the weekend of the second Indy GP at the Indy Road Course. As of Wednesday, I guess everything was relatively stable. But between Wednesday and Friday, something definitely happened, because Zach Brown sends a letter. Now, the understanding was last year, okay, they settled out of court. They ended up saying, okay, Palou's going to drive for Ganassi for this year, and then if he's signed a McLaren contract, he's going to come over and drive for Arrow McLaren next year. McLaren F1 is giving him a couple of, he did do an FP1 drive in Austin last year, and he has done some testing for the McLaren F1 team in older spec cars. So he's done some laps a couple of different places this season. However, that now looks like that's going to now stop because apparently Alex really likes the Ganassi car. And from a racing perspective, I guess I can't blame him. That car has done with him has done some really good things. So he's not going to drive for McLaren in 2024. Zach Brown informing the team that that's what's happened. Ganassi has hit back and said that he was always under contract with us and the whole malfeasance was based on last year's stuff, but then what happens with the settlement? Alex Palou's management company, who apparently negotiated the deal with Zach Brown that actually included an advance of his 2024 salary to drive the Arrow McLaren car next year, has walked away from Palou, claiming no knowledge of their client's intentions and effectively wishing him well and saying, we really want nothing more to do with him. So this looks like a bit of a mess. And the McLaren team, the F1 team, has also filed several lawsuits in American court and I think one in a British court, basically going back after the money. Where last year, what Chip Ganassi wanted him to do was drive for the race car. He was suing for specific performance. This year, it looks like all McLaren team wants is their money back and then nothing more to do with it. There's no denying the talent that Alex Palou has and the great things that he can do in a race car. But Cody, what is your take on all of this? It just seems like a mess.
It is a big mess. And you can't argue that Alex Palou is one of the, maybe even the top young talent in IndyCar right now. You know, he won the championship with Chip Ganassi back in 2021. Almost certainly going to win it again this year by probably a pretty significant margin. Finished well within the top 10 every race this year. He's on fire. And I can't really blame him at this point for wanting to stay with Chip Ganassi with how well he's doing. So it was last year it was that he wanted to leave Chip Ganassi, right? And they ended up settling that they would that he would race for them this year. Well, now he's going to win the championship. So he's like, oh, you know, sticking around might not be so bad. With how he's peeved off McLaren with all of this, I imagine we are never going to see him in at least a McLaren F1 car, and certainly not anywhere near a McLaren Indy car either. It's, you know, flair for the dramatic. He wants to go where he's going to, you know, win the races and win the championship and, you know, make the money. As far as that advance goes, if he really did receive an advance from McLaren for, you know, his season next year, I imagine he's going to have to give that back. So, I don't see how McLaren doesn't win that, you know, get the money back. And at this point, it sounds like that's all, like you're saying, that's all they want. They want nothing to do with him as a racer anymore. And, you know, who can blame them? He's kind of yanking people around every season now. But, you know, he seems like he can do that. He's winning. So there are going to be people who, going to be teams who are going to want him, no matter whose chain he's yanking.
Well, and I think the question is there an F1 team other than McLaren that has expressed interest? I've heard AlphaTauri rumors, of course, you know, that always comes up. I've heard Williams rumors. The one that I have heard a little bit more traction on is perhaps when one Fernando Alonso moves on from racing, which Father Time catches up to everybody, that there's a Honda angle because Honda is going to Aston Martin and he's not driving a Chevy in IndyCar anymore. He's going to stick with the Ganassi Honda. And therefore, it's a natural move that if he wants to go to F1, he can just fill in for Fernando Alonso after he retires it over there. So that's lots of rumor mill, not a whole lot of fact to a lot of what's going on in this story. You know, there's two angles I think you can kind of see on this, and I'll try to take my fan hat off, you know, and you can see what I'm wearing and you'll know why. But you can look at this, he's betting on himself, and that may be a good thing for overall his career. But the other angle of that could be, you know, is he setting himself up for more difficulty later on in his career. He's obviously going to win and go wherever he wants to now. You know, Ganassi's going to win this, and they're probably going to win one, maybe two more championships, maybe even three before this is all said and done. But if Alex Palou has bigger aspirations, and we all know that Zach Brown does not keep opinions to himself all the time, do you create a bit of a scorched earth mentality around, you know, if he's going to deal with other teams? Because now how do you believe anything that he's going to say? You know, if he says, I'm going to come drive for you, I think we're going to win, and then you don't honor that, I think that can be a problematic. So it's either he's betting on himself and it's going to work out and this will all be water under the bridge, or he's going to get a reputation amongst, like I said, for right now, I don't think there's any problem. But if the relationship with Ganassi ever falls out for whatever reason, I don't know who else is going to want to pick him up. There's been a lot of, what was it? Will Power went on a podcast. There's a clip of him that pretty much says it pretty good right now. Like, you get a contract and you get a contract and you get a contract type of thing. So, you know, go check that out. But I mean, oh yeah, yeah. What an odd situation. We never thought we were going to be here again, you know, especially after everything that happened last year.
It would almost be poetic if he replaced Alonso at some point, talking about scorched earth policies.
Yeah, exactly.
I, for one, hope he doesn't leave IndyCar, because IndyCar is, you know, having a renaissance of its own at the moment of returning popularity. And a lot of that, I think, is based on, you know, skilled talents like Palou and Award, who are, you know, young and new in the sport and succeeding. And, you know, as in addition to, you know, some drivers coming from Formula One and really showing off their skills, like, you know, Marcus Ericsson, et cetera. I think the sport would really lose out on something if Palou ever did leave to go to Formula One or anything else. So I'm hoping he sticks around for that.
We shall see, and we will find out as the IndyCar world turns, I guess, is the name of the soap opera. We'll see what happens. But, you know, a lot of different angles. If this was a pure IndyCar podcast, I could go off and do all sorts of odd connections that I could see that, you know, maybe this led to this and this led to that type of thing. But I'm not going to go into all that here. If anybody wants to DM me and learn about that, I'm more than happy to divulge my conspiracy theories. I do think some of it is related to some McLaren personnel that are now at Ganassi. I'm sure that probably didn't help the McLaren cause, and I'll just kind of leave that there. All right. Back to Formula One, back to our bit of a driver lineup here. It looks like whatever driver moves are going to happen, it pretty much seems like the one who's going to be the linchpin for this season looks like it's going to be Alex Albon, because his contract is up at the end of this season. He's basically a free agent, and he's shown pretty well. So he's definitely one of the, if not the most marquee name that's out there. So Cody, I'll just put this to you. Do you think he goes back to Williams and continues to help them build, or where would you like to see him go if not there?
I just don't know where else he would go right now. I think he's going to go back to Williams because Williams would be crazy to not take him, because he has succeeded very well since joining Williams and has driven the pants off that car and gotten them points in some races where they didn't really deserve them, perhaps. There's not really anywhere else for him to go, though. If he was going to be moving up, you know, Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, Aston Martin, McLaren, they're all more or less sealed in with their drivers. And the only one that I could see out of that mix is if Red Bull decided that they wanted to drop Perez, you know, terminate his contract, which doesn't really seem like they're keen on doing right now, and go back to Albon, who they had in their car before, and it wasn't a rousing success. Unless something crazy like that happens, I don't see him really going anywhere else. His other options would be taking Joe's seat over at Alfa Romeo. If he was going to do that for the long term, it would be perhaps an interesting career move, because they're going to be turning into Audi in a couple of years and probably going to have a lot more, you know, backing. Or he's going to go to Haas, which, you know, Haas kind of stinks again right now, so I wouldn't really be keen on doing that if I was him. Or trying to squeeze into, I think, over at AlphaTauri, you know, Danny Ric and Yuki, I think, are maybe having their contracts expire. Danny Ric for sure at the end of the season. And, you know, he kind of already did that song and dance. I don't think he's really keen on going back to that unless he's going to go into the full Red Bull car, and he may not even want to do that because of how well it didn't go before. So that's a very long way of saying I think he's going back to Williams.
I tend to agree. I don't think he wants anything to do with Helmut Marko ever again after his experience there. So that rules out AlphaTauri, and therefore I think also rules out Red Bull, because you pretty much have to go through Helmuts to get to Red Bull. So I think that takes those away. I think you said it real well. The rest of those, you know, top tier seats are pretty much are locked in for the foreseeable future. You know, yes, Lewis Hamilton hasn't signed his contract, but that's all but done, according to everything that I've read from every source. That would be a major league shock if something were to fall out with that negotiation. And there's been no indication that that's going to happen. So, you know, where else do you see him going other than maybe to another mid-tier team? And then is that mid-tier team any closer than Williams is from taking a step? We've kind of already seen them start to take steps. It looks like they've got a good thing in place with their team principal. James Vowles has been nothing but a good advocate for Williams. He's definitely has a working television. He sees where the problems are, and he's going in and trying to do what he can to try to fix them. The only question is, you know, is it going to take enough time for Albon, you know, for his career to peak at the right time? And it just may line up that way. After kind of thinking it through, I'm kind of with you where I think he ends up basically staying where he's at. I think that's the best fit for him right now. Certainly outside of the Red Bull program, but I think he's happy where he's at. It's a team that wants to support him, and he wants to turn around and support the team. So I'm with you there. All right, so turning to the Dutch Grand Prix proper, a couple stories before we get into our Pirelli track facts. One of the themes you're going to see a lot in the second half of the season, because really we haven't seen very many teams do this, these rookie or inexperienced drivers need to get their FP1 sessions in pretty darn quickly. So first up, Ferrari is going to give Robert Schwartzman. We'll get an FP1 drive this weekend for Ferrari. You know, it's always interesting when you see these kind of things happen, and, you know, do they show well? Does the session get rained out? You know, do they actually get a chance to put on a run a full program? Are they running hard tires all the time? You know, do we think that this rule of having the young drivers participate in at least two sessions a season, is it giving them the exposure to take the next step, or is this really a kind of a fool's errand? What's your thought?
I think it's a good way to get them into how, you know, a Formula One race weekend progresses. You know, obviously they're doing Formula Two, Formula Three races at the same venues as Formula One races, so they're there for the weekend and whatnot. But really getting their feet wet with Formula One teams and how the sessions go, I think it's probably a good experience for them and ones that they want to have. It seems a lot of the time that those sessions don't really turn into anything down the road. But at least they're getting that experience and they can, you know, use that going forward. You know, Robert Schwartzman is perfectly capable, you know, great success in F3 and F2, and probably a good driver to be getting into that, that F1 practice. Might be dropping him a little bit in the deep end with this one, with the potential for it to be a wet weekend. So he'll be getting a lot of experience. I would actually prefer to see a little bit more of it throughout the Formula One season. I know there's only so much room for that because, you know, the drivers need to drive their cars and they need to figure out their setups for the weekend. But it seems like these always kind of end up more toward the end of the season, and it's just a little bit here and there. So I would like to see just a little bit more of it from Formula One.
No, I think that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it always comes into, like, your first half of the season, you're pretty much all trying to throw development into the car, and so you want to have your more experienced drivers to give that feedback on that development you've seen. We've seen a lot more, I think, this season, even more so than most, much more FlowVis paint on the F1 cars, you know, this deep into the season as, you know, upgrades and stuff have come through. There's so much evaluating and correlation work, and the teams just don't want to trust these young guys to do that. Because that's really hard work. I mean, and it's sometimes can be boring, and it's not fun, and it doesn't necessarily showcase what that driver can actually do. Well, you know, it's great to see, you know, not to pick on Schwartzman, but if he shows up and he's P20 on the timesheet because Ferrari just let him run on a single set of hard tires because he's doing upgrade correlation work, that doesn't do anything for him. Mm-hmm. Other than maybe make him a nice team player. But, you know, to me, I wish that there was a better way to get young guys involved or young drivers involved. To me, it feels almost like I'm almost of the view that it's almost a fool's errand because I don't know what – I've never seen anybody say, oh, my God, other than Nyck de Vries and the Monza weekend where he had the good session and had to then sub in for somebody else, I haven't mm-hmm. seen it lead to an F1 drive in a long time. So maybe we ought let F2 guys, even when they win F2, continue to race there. So at least they're in a car for a while.
Yeah, it is a little weird that once you win F2, you're no longer allowed to participate. I do kind of see why they want to do that, because they want to let, you know, new talent keep coming through and get more of an opportunity. But at the same time, where do you go after that if you're not going to F1? There's only 20 seats right now. So you either become a reserve driver if you're lucky, and then you're, you know, doing simulator work, you're occasionally getting some practice time. You're not really getting that much out of it. And yeah, I can see where you're coming from, that they're not really showing their stuff, you know, when they're getting their practice for Formula One, because yeah, they're not probably out there doing like a full run, you know, for qualifying or anything like that. So De Vries kind of had that perfect storm of a situation where he got to, you know, actually be in the race and show his stuff and score points. And then, of course, you know, you get Formula One points, you know, you're on everybody's radar. So unless you get some kind of weird perfect storm like that where someone's not able to participate in a weekend and you just happen to be there, it's probably not going to lead to much anytime soon.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. But, well, we'll see kind of how it goes. We'll see who else gets in, and we'll see kind of how it affects the driver market, if at all, you know, as we move throughout the second half of the season. Okay, so our last story before we get into the Dutch GP proper. One of the things that if you had a television, you would have known, the flares tend to be a little bit nutty here at the Zandvoort circuit. They're sometimes more orange than air. And that's even prompted the organizers of the Dutch GP to say, okay, we have a bit of a problem here. We want to clamp down on the flare use. We also know from sometimes years past, we've had some issues with fan behavior with respect to certain sects of the Orange Army. And so the Dutch GP director, and I'm going to butcher this name and I apologize, Irme van Leeuwen, says that special measures will be enforced at the event this year, including a designated place for fans to report any issues or bad experiences that they may encounter, which is one of the requirements set by the Drive It Out initiative. And then with respect to the flares, he goes on to say, and now you see that there are so many that it's dangerous and it's not good for your health. We have to inform the people. Now you're not a good fan if you have a flare. You're a good fan if you don't have a flare. And if you have a flare, you say, come on, guy, this is dangerous for my health. So it was a long-winded answer to basically Dutch GP. You're never going to get rid of it. I guarantee you, you're still going to see the flares come out. People will sneak them in. But at least they're making an effort. I know last year, I think there was a race I know where they had to do, I think, an extra formation lap because it was a guard took it out of the hands of a fan and threw it because it was still going off, had to throw it, ended up on the track, and somebody had to go and clear it off. So, you know, we've had issues with these things before. Hopefully, you know, I am not a fan of that, especially if you're at a race. It's hard enough to sometimes breathe when it's, you know, really hot out and you're at a racetrack and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I'm all for trying to get rid of the flares wherever possible.
There's plenty of other ways to show off your fan appreciation. And, you know, everyone there is wearing orange. Everyone there is cheering for Max. That's all you really got to do. The flares take it maybe just a little step too far. It obscures visibility for drivers if you're doing it, you know, during or before the race. I wouldn't want to be sucking that stuff into my lungs, especially throughout an entire day. So they're doing the right thing by trying to clamp down on it, but it's going to be probably somewhat meaningless because there's always going to be someone who's going to be able to sneak it in. There's thousands of Dutch fans who are going to be there. There's going to be at least a few who are going to sneak them in. So I am 100% sure we're going to see them at some point during the weekend, unless Max doesn't win. And then everyone might just be doing it anyway, just to keep everyone off. So, but yeah, it's going to be orange almost certainly.
Yeah, no, I'm sure we'll see some orange, but I do hope that, you know, if it can cut down, it's a good thing. There were still some flares, I don't know, at the Austrian GP, but it wasn't as bad. I've definitely seen it be a lot worse. So hoping good things for the weekend. All right. So we will take a quick break. We will pay a bill or two. We will come back. We'll drop our green flag. We'll get into the track facts, and then we'll head straight back into predictions because our news segment went a little bit longer than I usually thought. So come on back, and we'll get into the Dutch GP proper.
You are listening to the Outlap F1 podcast, and we'll be right back after this quick pit stop.
All right, welcome back. This is season 5, episode number 23 of the Outlap F1 podcast. It's our Dutch Grand Prix race preview. The summer break is over, and we are now getting back into the swing, the second half of the F1 season. You've got Andy, and I'm with my wonderful preview co-host Cody tonight. Sorry I couldn't get all that out right there, but it's good to see you, sir. We're going to drop our green flag, and we'll get into the Dutch GP track facts brought to us by the good folks at Pirelli Motorsport. So, Cody, tell us about the Circuit Zandvoort.
All right. This weekend, we are racing at the Circuit Zandvoort, located in North Holland in the Netherlands. Good old homeboy Max Verstappen is going to feel right at home here. Number of laps around this track, 72. Track length is 2.65 miles, which is 4.259 kilometers. Tire selection for this race is the C1, C2, and C3 compounds, so the hardest compounds available from Pirelli. Track characteristics, looks like this one's going to be probably pretty hard on tires. We got traction 4 out of 5, braking 3 out of 5, lateral load 4 out of 5, tire stress 5 out of 5, track evolution 4 out of 5, asphalt grip 2 out of 5, asphalt abrasion 3 out of 5, and 4 out of 5 for downforce. Qualifying lap record under the current configuration of the track is going to go to Max Verstappen, set in 2021, and that was a 1 minute 8.885 seconds, while the race lap record under the current configuration goes to his rival, Lewis Hamilton, also set in 2021, and that was a 1 minute 11.097 seconds. Most wins around Zandvoort in general is going to go to Jim Clark with 4 wins in the Netherlands, followed by a tie between Jackie Stewart and Niki Lauda with 3 wins apiece. And then finally, in third place, home hero Max Verstappen with 2 wins here, and hopefully more to come. Most constructor wins in Zandvoort, we've got 9 for Ferrari, whopping 9, followed by Lotus with 6. I'm guessing that's got to be the old Lotus. And third place is McLaren with 3 wins. What is the circuit like, Andy?
All right. The Circuit Zandvoort can be a tire killer, with turn 14 being taken flat out with excess of 4 Gs, 2 corners with heavy braking zones around 5 Gs, turn 7, 8, and 9 also produce high Gs. These punish the tires continuously over a portion of the track. Throw in the fact that the track is built in a windy area near sand sounds, grip levels could change rapidly. The circuit is really quick, pretty insane, crazy, and old school. And these were words used by the current crop of F1 drivers when asked to describe the Zandvoort track that many of them tackled in their junior category days. We'd also add undulating to the list. The Zandvoort track swoops and flows through the sand dunes, creating a roller coaster-like feel to the lap. And while the circuit is modernized, including the increasing the braking angle at the famous Tarzan corner to an Indianapolis Motor Speedway trumping 18 degrees, Zandvoort will remain a proper challenging driver's track. As for the weather, and once again in Europe, this seems to be the theme this year, we may have weather impacting the race weekend for qualifying. Showers and thunderstorms in the forecast. High around 65. So I guess all the heat's here and it's not in Europe. Winds out of the southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour, an 80% chance of rain. And for the race day on Sunday, light rain early. When does it stop? That becomes the question. A mix of sun and clouds in the afternoon. Thunder remains possible. High near 65. Winds out of the west, southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain, again, for any part of the day, still 80%. Wow. So we may see some interesting qualifying. We may see some what Martin Brundle calls those tricky, changeable conditions as we go throughout the sessions on Saturday and Sunday. All right. So we will now just hop straight into the Choose Your Champion predictions game. So I need to make some inroads here, break out the old Mortal Kombat moves myself. So we will start, as we are apt to do, with the qualifying prediction. The 2022 pole sitter was one Max Verstappen. Cody, do you have anybody else? You got 19 other drivers you can pick from.
Yep, I've got 19 other ones, but I think I'm really going to just go with Max. I think it's a no-brainer. He's going to be squeezing those extra few tenths of a second out because he is the home hero. He's going to have the crowd on his side cheering him on, and I think that's going to help him go just that much faster. So it's got to be Max.
Yeah, I think the question isn't going to be who's on the pole. It's going to be by how much. Mm-hmm. And this could be one of those where he just throws down one of those, you know, seven tenths of a second differences between him and second place. It's very possible. The rain may have something to say about that, though. We'll have to see. But I'm going with Max Verstappen. I agree with you. It's his until somebody yanks it from him, and they're going to have to yank pretty darn hard if they want to take it from him in front of his home fans. So, yeah, I'm not going anybody else but Max Verstappen for the pole. All right, so the pole lap time, last year's lap time was a 110.342. We do have rain in the forecast. Does that affect the lap time, and when does it affect the lap time? But Cody, what's your thought?
I am going with a little bit slower than last year's pole lap on account of the rain. I'm going with a 1 minute 11.899, and hopefully no slower than that.
Well, I have to try. I think about this, and I'm like, okay, I either have to go faster or slower. And do I think it's going to dry out in time? I look at that weather forecast. I have to trust the weather forecast. So I'm going to go slower than you. I'm going to say a 112.5. I do think it may ramp up. With my luck, I was talking about this with you in the pre-show. It's going to dry up just in time for Q3 for those really fast laps. But I will go slower than you for here. 112.5. I'm hoping for a wet qualifying session there. All right, so we'll turn our attention now to the race proper. The 2022 podium was Max Verstappen, followed by George Russell, and Charles Leclerc came in third. So, Cody, who do you have for your race podium?
I don't think it's going to be any surprise that I have Max Verstappen winning the race and taking that ninth win to tie Sebastian Vettel's consecutive win record. I have Lewis Hamilton in second place. Mercedes seems to be on the up and up lately, seem to be more clearly establishing themselves now as probably the number two car for the rest of the season, I would think. So I got Hamilton in second, and I've got Perez rounding out the podium.
All right. Very good. I have Max Verstappen taking the win. Shocker, I know, for all. And I do agree with you that I think Mercedes here will show very good. You know, being the papaya-blooded person that I am, last time I tried to go full papaya, it didn't work out for me so well. So I'm not going to do that here. Although I would like to see if that capper update comes in, when that comes in, that may change my predictions later. But I do think here, where I don't think it's going to suit the McLaren car, I do think Mercedes are going to go pretty well here. This type of tracks tends to suit them pretty good. And with their new package, I think they should show well here. So I'm going to go George Russell P2 and Lewis Hamilton to come home in P3 as well. So two Mercedes and a Red Bull for my podium. All right. Last year's fastest lap was set by Max Verstappen. That was a 113.652. Cody, what's your take on the fastest lap and the driver?
So this one, no-brainer going for Verstappen, again, with the home hero thing. But I'm going only a little bit slower than last year for the fastest lap time, because I figure your fastest laps are generally coming at the end of the race when cars light on fuel, right? And I am hoping that by that point in the race, things will have mostly dried out, you know, running on slicks. So I'm only going slightly slower than last year's time. I'm going with a 1:14 flat.
All right, very good. 1:14 flat with Max Verstappen taking that honor. I'm going to go Lewis Hamilton to take the fastest lap. And I'm going to go a slightly faster than you. I do think it is going to dry out probably by the end of the race. The question will be, is there a gargantuan gap between P2 and P3? And then where's the gap between P3 and P4? If it's really spread out, you might see Lewis come in, take a flyer on a set of softs, and go for that fastest lap point. So I got 113.568. So I think it's actually going to ramp up quite a bit. It'll probably be maybe even a little bit faster than last year if the track rubber's in. So we'll have to see. But that's my prediction. All right, so you were in charge of the bonus picks, and you selected P4, P7, and P10. So some good field spread here. I'll go first. I'm going to say P4. Don't have them on the podium, but I think they're going to be there. I do like the general characteristics of this track for the McLaren car. They were good here last year. So I like Lando Norris for P4. I also like Oscar Piastri for P7. And for P10, it just has that feeling of that's where Lance Stroll kind of sort of is. So I'll go there.
Yeah, I am pretty much agreeing with you on the P7 and the P10, because I also have Piastri in 7th and Stroll in 10th. I think that means that I'm hoping Alonso is going to finish much better, probably around that P5 mark. For P4, though, I have Russell just missing out on the podium.
All right, very good. Now, interesting enough, even though we agreed on these two, we were typing them at the same time, so we didn't see each other's prediction on this one. We literally typed Stroll at the same time, and the thing had to buffer for a minute. One of our little joys of kind of how we make the show here. But anyway, we'll have to see how that plays out on the weekend. So for our prop bet this week, because we think we're going to have rain in qualifying, the question came up, do we see the fastest lap time set on inters or slicks in Q3? So I'm going to go and I'm going to say I think it stays wet enough. That's consistent with my lap time prediction, so I'm sticking with it. And I'm saying we're going to see that fastest lap time set on a set of intermediate tires. But Cody, what's your thought?
I'm going with the opposite. I'm going with slicks. I think it's going to dry out just enough on the driving line that you're going to get somebody brave who's going to try out the slicks, and they're going to find out that they're able to go just a little bit faster, and then everyone else is going to switch to the slicks, and you're going to have Max Verstappen go out there and set a time that's like a bajillion seconds ahead of everyone else, because that's what he does in the wet. But he's going to do it on slicks.
All right, very good. So fastest Q3 time on slicks. All right, so I guess that takes us to the end of our little agenda here. One last thing, when and where to watch your F1 this weekend. The FP1 sessions, everything is a little bit earlier than the normal standard European time. So set those alarm clocks early if you want to get at your F1, at least your F1 live. FP1 up and early, Adam, right, nice and early, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. That is on ESPN2. FP2, an hour earlier than normal, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, ESPN2. FP3, really early, 5:30 a.m. Eastern, 4:30 a.m. Central. Yikes. It's like Women's World Cup all over again. ESPN2. The qualifying will take place 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. That's on big ESPN. And the race itself also kicks off 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on, again, big ESPN has all of the coverage. All right. So I guess that's it. Cody, any final thoughts before we hop on out for the night?
Pretty much just that I always feel like I miss out on practice because it's so gosh darn early for us all the time. At least for the qualifying and the race, I can get up for that, you know, surely. But yeah, I see those practice times being like 5:30, 4:30 in the morning, and I'm like, you know, I really kind of want to sleep like 3 more hours.
Well, I find that my body tends to just attune to this type of calendar for whatever reason. So if I'm up and I happen to be conscious, I'm like, guess what? Guess what you're doing? You're watching the session because you want to see what happens. But that's just kind of how I roll. All right, so we'll be back after Sunday or maybe on Sunday. We're not exactly sure. We're still trying to work out the schedule. I will not be around Sunday night for sure. We may end up doing the recording on Monday. I will actually be at Worldwide Technology Raceway in Madison, Illinois. I will be watching the Bomberito 500 Sunday afternoon, the last IndyCar oval on the schedule. So I will be there in person. So you'll probably see some nice photos of the racetrack and hopefully some fast cars going around in circles as we like to do that. So I'll be probably driving back. So my guess is we'll probably record Monday night, probably have the final review out on Tuesday. But who will be there is still a bit up in the air, but we will work all of that out and we will get our episode out as soon as we can. So Cody, thanks for joining me tonight. We will, for everybody, enjoy the race weekend. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.